The definition that I got from reading history, and as I'm going to try to show you a definition I got from reading the Bible too, and from my own experiences of it, is this: that revival, biblical revival, is not just something that human beings do. It's not mainly the extraordinary operations of the Holy Spirit. Real revival is the intensification of the ordinary operations of the Holy Spirit. And those ordinary operations are conviction of sin, conversion, converting, the giving of assurance, and sanctifying, making us holy. And when the Holy Spirit, those operations are intensified across a church, maybe even a small part of a church, across a denomination, across a city, across a country, you've got revival. And the revival consists of these three things. Now, I'm running through an outline that you can find fleshed out in the book Center Church. When revivals happen, you see three things happen. Sleepy Christians wake up, nominal Christians get converted, and hard-to-reach, conscious non-Christians get dramatically brought to faith and brought into the church. You hear that? Sleepy Christians get awakened, nominal Christians who are in the church get converted, they realize they're not Christians, they never have been Christians, and hard-to-reach cases of people who are against, you know, Christianity altogether get very often dramatically brought to faith and to come into the church. When I say sleepy Christians get woken up, it's because when the Holy Spirit begins to do His work, it brings repentance and assurance. See, one of the problems of the ordinary Christian is neither happy nor sad enough. We're not convicted enough about our sin. We're not experiencing deep repentance, and also, or maybe I should say, and therefore, we don't experience high assurance. Now, there's assurance and there's assurance, but I was always influenced by David Martin Lloyd-Jones in his sermons on Romans. When he gets to Romans 8:16, he gets to that place where it says, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And he tells a story. Some of you may have heard me tell this story too. He tells a story he got from Thomas Goodwin. So he got it from Thomas Goodwin, I got it from him. And now you're going to go home and use it because you got it from me. But it's a story of a man walking down the street with his little Thomas Goodwin says he one day saw a man walking down the street with his son. They clearly were father and son. They clearly were affectionate. But at one point, the father picks the son up and hugs him and loves him and hugs him and kisses him and says, I love you. And he says, I love you too, Dad, or whatever they said in 17th century England. And then after that, the boy's put down. You can't live your whole life in your father's arms, and on you walk. Thomas Goodwin said, Lloyd-Jones said, ah, objectively, the father and the son were legally father and son. And when the boy was in the father's arms, he wasn't legally more of a son, but he was experiencing his father's love. He was experiencing his sonship. And so Lloyd-Jones turns and ends by saying, when it says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, what it's really trying to say is your spirit, that is to say, you know you're a child of God. You believe the Bible, you believe that Jesus died for you, you put your faith in Him, and now you, your spirit, knows I'm a child of God. But it's just a kind of an abstraction. But when the Spirit bears witness with your spirit, when the Spirit comes aside and says it's true, He's bringing this assurance. The conviction of sin and the assurance of who you are in Christ, the assurance of God's love, it wakes sleepy Christians up, most of which are just really sleepwalking through life. It also, revival also converts nominal Christians. Churches are filled with people who think they're Christians, they're baptized, they're members, very often they're officers. And when revival breaks out, a lot of them will come to you and they will say, I thought I was a Christian, now I know I never was. Sometimes they'll say, I had a secret life, I was doing this or that, it was awful. But very often they'll say, I realize now that actually I never really understood the gospel. I never really understood what it meant to be saved by faith. I really actually was pretty much uptight in my own works righteousness. I never understood why Christianity didn't seem to work for me the way it worked for other people. God never seemed real to me, and now I realize I've given my life to Christ, and very often this is your church treasurer. Now, I've never seen a time of renewal when some of that didn't happen. It's not your job, if you're a pastor, to look at baptized people who profess faith in Christ and say, I think you're a Christian, I don't think you're really converted. It's not your place. You can't do it. A person, by the way, who is very overtly sinning and being unrepentant, is church discipline, that's another subject. But the point is that you can very often sense that there's people that don't have the savor of Christ about them, but you can't just go through, not you. During times of revival, the Spirit goes through and does that. And then lastly, of course, there is church growth during times of revival. There are a lot of people who find faith in Christ, but partly it's because of this. When sleepy Christians wake up and nominal Christians get converted, it beautifies the church. It becomes an attractive place. It becomes a powerful place. And for various reasons. One is because very often the sleepy Christians, the nominal Christians, actually begin to reach out to their neighbors in a way they weren't doing before. But also because people who hear about it sometimes it spreads around and what's going on in the churches, and people come in just because they're curious. In other cases, they come in because they're brought. But church growth also happens.